Blog Talk Radio.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
All right, good evening, everyone. We are back for another edition of the Super Dave Show. And let me give you the numbers real quick if you want to get involved here. We are doing all about right to work. We had some Facebook issues, a lot of misinformation, all that stuff. I think it's only important. The way we find out how this works is for everyone to pay attention, talk to each other, stop acting like you know everything. I mean, it's like a bunch of babies out there sometimes. And I'm giving people crap, excuse me, because of the fact that there are too many people out there who are saying all kinds of things, talk show hosts, all kinds of stuff, who, honest to God, don't know what they're talking about. And either that or they're not thinking straight. And I'm not saying I'm perfect, far from it, but at the same rate, I think it's ridiculous that we have people going after others and just, I guess what bothers me the most is the fact that you have people out there who honestly will defriend somebody or unfriend somebody because of the fact that they don't agree with them. Well, damn it, don't be such a weasel. Learn what's going on and stop being a baby. You know, I've been going through this for a while, and you got some people on Facebook. And please, if you'd like to become part of the show, the number is 323-784-9620. And it just bothers me that you got people out there who really and truly don't know what the legislation is about, or they're very inconsistent in their views because of their hate for unions. Let me start out the show by saying I am not a fan of most unions. I think most unions are horrible. However, not all of them are. And a reason a lot of them are horrible is because we're looking at government unions. And the right to work issue is one that really bothers me for the fact that the basic point of right to work, and I got this from somebody, I actually looked up the legislation, I'll be glad to show it to you here. The basic reason for right to work is for the fact that it does not give employers the right to do what they want. And frankly, friends, I've owned businesses before. If it's my shop, I hire what I want. If I want to have a closed shop, I have friends out there who are involved with businesses. They are very happy with unions. In fact, some of them are even members of the same union and they're owners. So don't go into this like a bunch of babies thinking that there's no such, that every union is bad. That's absolutely ridiculous. And it's frankly, it's childish. Some of the accusations I get from speaking, I think clearly out of logic is what I try to do, because of the fact that the same people that say, which is true, in Springfield we have a smoking rights issue, or not even smoking, the property rights issue in my book, but basically the smoking Nazis think they have the right to tell people that, tell bar owners and bowling center owners, whatever, that they don't want smoking in their center because they may go in there someday. Well, that property owner has put their money up. They've done everything they need to do to make sure they got a business. It's their business. Now, a lot of you people agree with that. Well, that's great. But here's the problem I see. Those same people will not give employers the same right. If I want to have a closed shop, and somebody comes in here, it's like, look, we have union people here. I'm very happy with the union. If you want to come in and work for us, you have to be part of the union. Sorry. You have a choice then. It's called freedom, by the way, for a lot of you people that don't know what the hell freedom is. A lot of you people think it's freedom to do whatever you want, but unfortunately, that's not real freedom. If you want that, then go to a communist country where you think there's freedom, and you'll get what you want there. And I don't think you're going to like it. So anyway, bottom line is that when this legislation, which I wasn't even aware of, and it was pointed out to me by two classy gentlemen, by the way, who I think one or both of them are going to be on the party phone in a little while. They're the ones that brought this up. And I wasn't aware, and most people aren't aware, but please tell me where you think you have the right to go to an employer and say, you don't have the right to do what you want to do. I'm going to tell you because I don't like unions. I don't like unions, but I also know the fact that just like the bar, if I don't like the way they're running their business, guess what? I don't have to have a job there. But if that's the requirements of that employer, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Okay, comment here. My wife has asthma, and we could not go into many businesses. I never complained about business being smoking. I'm not saying some of you people have, and I'm not sure where you stand on this. That's a comment in the comments board. The point is that it's an employer's business. It's their deal. You do not have to go there and get a job. Nobody's forcing you to go there and get a job. Yes, they're forcing you to go on a union if that's the deal that the company made with the union. Because basically the way I look at it is the company says, all right, we want to deal with the union. We want to come up with something between both of us that we're happy with. And don't go with GM and all of them. Not all unions are the same. They make the deal. That's between them. Now, if it's a three-year contract and after 3 years it's not working out, at that point that same employer has a right to say, guess what? This isn't working. Nobody said it's easy. Now, maybe there's some legislation you could do with that. I don't know. I'm not sure. But we can't go by that. The point of this is that you have to go with something. You have to go with the present legislation. You don't go in there and make things up. And thank you very much. That was my point. It's a business decision. That's absolutely right. In Springfield, they're having a deal. I forgot where it was. Maybe someone will remind me. But it's the smoking Nazis against the property owners, the property rights advocates like I am. And the smoking Nazis want to tell the property owners, no, you can't do that with your property. Well, for you people out there that are doing this right-to-work crap, you're doing the same thing. Now, you don't want to do this. You don't want to talk about it. You get on Facebook and some of the other ones, you can talk big. And I've invited many of you people who disagree with that. And all I'm saying is come on here and tell me why. You can't defend it. You just get out there and you spew your crap. Your talk show host up in St. Louis does the same thing. I had somebody call me and they said, does this woman have a clue? Yes, I'm attacking her on purpose because you have a responsibility with this microphone. You just don't get on this microphone and just start blabbing away. You have a responsibility. If you don't even know what the legislation is or how it works, and that same person up there, and I'm attacking her on purpose, that same person up there also was for the smoking ban. She didn't like the fact that she couldn't go into those places and enforce them for no smoking. Well, that's too bad. Go to a country where property rights mean nothing, where the government is the key to everything. I did a show about 3 weeks ago in regards to the issue here in Springfield. It's going to be on April 5th. I did the show. It was terribly smoky. I did the show because I believe in what I do. But what else I did to be true to myself is when I was walking out the door, I said, thank you very much. I had a great time. I won't be back. And they looked at me in amazement and said, why? Easy. Guess what? Yeah, you're right. It must be. That's who it is. Anyway, I said, easy. It's too damn smoky in this place. Get your ventilation fixed. I won't be back. And they looked at me and they said, well, I will say one thing. You're a man of your word because you said you believe in rights. And I do. I don't have to go in that place. I'm not driving on the street and somebody says, get in that place. Go in there. That's wrong. That's not what I do. So please, you have the freedom not to work for somebody. You have the freedom to do all that. Now, the other side of the issue, we all, when it comes to government unions, there is absolutely no one out there that's going to talk to, even come close to tell me that government unions are a good thing. It's a monopoly, folks, and there's absolutely no reason whatsoever. The very people that are getting the bucks, that are getting the good deals, have the ability to elect someone who has influence in that. You cannot do that in a private sector. Not only that, but that money is coming from your taxes, and you're forced to pay it. So you have somebody making a decision on your money. That's why it's so important, by the way, to be electing the right people. Way too important. But too many people just jump on the bandwagon, and you get all upset, and it's like, oh, this isn't the way it should be. Well, you know, all you have to do, I challenge any of you, 323-784-9620, call in. Let's talk about it. Even the people on the union side, by the way, I wasn't out to get them. I wanted to get information. If you have information I don't have, please let me know. Please let me know. But unfortunately, you don't. You just have an opinion based on emotion. And frankly, they're no better than a liberal up there because that's exactly what they do. It doesn't matter. We're not going to defend the legislation. We just don't like what we have out here. If I go to a place and they won't allow me to work there because I won't join the union, that I'm going to force them to do it. How childish. You know, let me see. Right to work will give control of local unions back to the local union members. When membership is voluntary, it is voluntary. It's not voluntary when the owner says, I don't want that. You're doing nothing different than the same people that you demonize. When you tell the government that, you know, when they start forcing people to do things, that's the problem I see with that. Because as an employer, if I have an electrical contracting service company or something like that, and I want all my electricians to have been to the schools, all the things to make sure I have good qualified people, if I want to make it that easy, that's where I go. That's where I go to make sure I have the qualified people. I'm not saying that non-union people aren't qualified. Of course they are. And so for the union people, this always irritates me, for the union people to act like, well, it's only union people that are so wonderful, that's a bunch of hogwash too. So I'm calling a spade, and if you have a problem with that, call. Get on the board. Tell me what you're thinking, because at least some of the people are doing it. But a lot of you will just do a hit and run. There's one goof in St. Louis that, you know, and here's something else too about these boards. I mean, I love going on Facebook and discussing with people. But some of these people are completely condescending because you don't know any better. You know, I get that from the elitist idiots on the other side of the aisle. You don't know any better. Well, you know, people, when you come up with facts, it's a different story, isn't it? When you cannot debate me, then you can't win. All right, we got a caller coming in here. Let's go ahead and put him on. All right, who do we have here?
Hey, Kev, this is Richard.
Richard. Okay, Richard, how you doing? Did I spell it out pretty well here?
You know, I just now I wasn't able to listen on the blog talk, so I just called in, so I missed everything that you were talking about previous.
Okay. All right. Let me introduce. This is Richard Blowers. He is.
Yep.
You were involved in the Tea Parties, weren't you?
Yeah, I sure was. I was a candidate for state rep too.
Correct. Okay. We talked last week. When you got into this, you knew I was not a big right to work fan, a union fan, right? But
right.
We went through the conversation, and there was a piece of information that I wasn't aware of. And when I found out, which is what discussions are all about, debates are all about, I was absolutely against right to work that moment, wasn't I?
Yep.
But you got your information out. Now, well, the first thing I want to tell you right now, I told Kevin a while ago, is the fact both sides have done a horrendous job of really talking about what this truly is. Would you agree?
Yep. Yo, I agree. I agree. It's always the talking points, and it seems like some of the loudest voices really have no interest in a calm, you know, discussion with anybody other than people who think the way they do.
Well, and my problem with all that is that if they're going to get on a microphone or if they're going to get on Facebook or all these things, Facebook's a little bit different because most of the people don't know what they're talking about anyway. But when you're on a microphone, if I don't know, your job is to find out. You know, when that show was going on today, I had more than one person call me about that show. And what bothered me about the fact is that there were no interviews with people. I don't remember her calling you or some of the other people. It wasn't there because it was only an opinion based on nothing, based on emotion. How's that?
Oh, are you talking about the afternoon show on the radio today?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I tried to call in, and I couldn't get in because I couldn't believe – you know, what I was hearing. And, you know, the funny thing is, you know, they're ripping on the, I think there was four Republicans who had taken money from the unions, and it was, what was it, about $27,000? Was it?
Yeah,
that the
article.
Yeah, it was like 27 grand that the four took from union interests. But I'll tell you what, the day after the election, I heard the Senate pro tem, Mr. Mayor, brought up the right to work issue the day after the election, November 3rd, I think it was. And come to find out, after doing a little campaign finance research, that he had taken money from a couple of businessmen, $50,000 each, and this was 8 days before the election, and Mayor wasn't even running for office. It wasn't. He's a senator, and it wasn't his election time. He's up in 2 years. So, what are, you know, it's campaign finance. What are two businessmen giving $50,000 each to somebody who's not even running for office if it's not a special interest? And they were pushing for right to work. So, it's funny how these people are outraged about 27 grand between four guys, and then they don't say a word about $100,000 from two gentlemen to the same, you know, the same Republican Senate group. It's just amazing, the hypocrisy.
You know, they're picking and choosing.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's what they're doing. Now, granted, unions, I mean, you know, okay. As I've told people before, all right, the basis of this legislation is the fact that they want to take that right away from employers. That I have a problem with. Your problem is you're a union guy. You don't want to see the money go to Democrats. That's between you and your union, and the government has zero right to walk in there and tell you people what you need to do. That's your deal. You're the ones that have to get rid of your leadership. We're not doing this.
Right. Right, yeah. If they're not...
We pick and choose what we want when it comes to this kind of stuff, and it's ridiculous. You know, the Tea Party people, and I'm jumping on them, the Tea Party people say, well, we don't want people, we want less government. But it's no different than when they say, we want to cut the budget, too. Just give us the government we want, and don't take any of our money away. Well, you know, if you're going to be genuine, let's be genuine. Let's not pick and choose what kind of conservatism we want here.
Right.
Sorry, I'm kind of mad right now because it just irritates the heck out of me that we have people talking on both sides of their mouth. I guarantee you I'm going to be defriended so many times tonight. It's unreal. I don't care because if you can't tell the truth and if they can't talk to you about it, that's their problem.
You know, we complain about the people in Washington doing the same thing. You get a Democrat, a Republican that look at the same legislation and they see two completely different things. And you wonder how they can do that. And it's disingenuous and they're playing to their base. But this is the same thing on a local level. You know, it's the same thing.
Okay, hold on 1 second. I think somebody just tried to call in again. I'm trying to learn how to use the screen here, so call in one more time and I'll take the call. I'm trying to figure out on this how you do some of the blog talk stuff. Anyway, call back in. And you're right. You're absolutely right.
And the thing that's so frustrating is during the campaign, and I might have said this last week on the show, I don't remember, but during the campaign, which I was heavily involved with, I know you followed a lot of the people around the state too, Dave, is I never heard one politician mention right to work. It was all, we're going to cut regulation to make it easier for business. And I don't know, maybe they consider this regulation.
Hey, Josh?
No. Right. Okay. Kevin, you're on the air, by the way.
Oh, okay. Thanks. I appreciate it.
That's okay. I want to grab you before you said something silly. All right. On the line with us also is Kevin Harned. We had both you guys on last Friday. It was a great show. Kevin, you were listening to that show that we were discussing. Am I right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes, and I was. And I don't want to interrupt. Richard's making some great points, as well as you are, Dave.
Did you expect any less?
Amen. I mean, you guys are dead spot on.
And you know, one thing is, as you guys both know, I'm not the biggest union fan. But you guys are union fans for the union you have because it's a totally different experience. And it's almost, you know, I kind of bring it up to like some of the racists that say all blacks do shoot people and murder, whatever, you know, whatever. Well, now you're putting everybody in the same category. That's not fair to you guys. It just isn't fair to you guys.
No, I agree with that. And, you know, the one thing, and I know Richard has too, but during healthcare reform, I stood up on the floor and told them that this was a disaster, and we're a bunch of lemmings if we try to promote and push this. And you know, so there is, even though you may not see a lot of, you know, even though you may not hear a lot of opposition, there is a lot being spoken. And the fact that this legislation coming out of left field, just like Richard said, has cut the legs out from underneath of those inside the unions that are trying to make changes. It's really damaged us.
Well, and I guess what really bothers me about this, though, is that people make up their minds without doing any real research or really sitting there talking about it. They've never talked to you guys, you know, and like I said, I didn't call you guys with the idea that I was going to kick your butt on the air or something like that. It was like, let's get some information out there and let's talk about logically and figure something out. And then something came up. But most of the stuff that we talk about, we're in total agreement with. You know, we don't like government unions. I think, you know, I love to have somebody come on here and tell me why a government union is a good thing. And that's one of the dumbest things I've ever heard in my life. And tell me why SEIU, I mean, you've got to look at SEIU and the AFL-CIO law, and you've got to just, you've got to just like almost puke on those people.
Oh, I Richard Trumka, I hear him talk, and I hear what he stands for, and he basically he just says it. He says he's for social justice. You know, he's got no interest in improving the worker status. He has a separate agenda, and he always has, and he uses his power and his money and his influence to further his agenda, not the workers' agenda.
Well,
and I concur with Richard on that. You know, whenever we're looking at things, it's true. You're gonna have different groups vying for power anytime that money and influence is involved. And sure, you're gonna find that some are more along with a socialistic belief, but you know that. That doesn't mean that they don't encounter some opposition. If you look at the AFL-CIO, there's a lot of unions that don't even belong to them anymore. There's a lot that have dropped out. There's several that I could think of. The laborers, the carpenters, and I'm not talking about all, but some of the operating engineers, there's been several. They have issues and problems of their own. They're not as unified as what they may appear.
Well, and the media isn't. They're not interested in people like you. They're interested in the violent unions. They're interested in trying to nail a Tea Party. And you guys are Tea Party members. It's not like you were out there just wanting more government. In fact, what these people are asking for is more government. You know, and your union isn't the same. So, you know, for some of these people out there, to the audacity of them to turn around and act like, oh, wait a minute, you're a Tea Party guy? Well, wait a minute, there's something wrong with you because you believe in unions. People, get over it. You know, not everyone that's a Tea Party member is straight. Not everyone that's a Tea Party member is religious. Tea Party is about three main things in my book, and you guys correct me if I'm wrong. It's about less government, less spending, and more freedom. Get our freedoms back. That's what it's about. It's not about abortion. It's not about any of that stuff. We can all think those things, but that's not what it's about. And if you want to have right to work, change the legislation. But don't give me this bunch of garbage and tell me that this is good legislation when you're taking the rights as a business owner I may have. You're taking my rights away? I don't think so.
Well, you know, we had some folks today telling us we needed to read the bill. Well, I did that. I went, you know what they say, read the bill. It's only two pages. The second page basically talks about the penalties if you break this piece of legislation. But, you know, some stuff that I saw, and I don't know, maybe you know more about this than I do, Kevin, but, you know, if you have a union and somebody wants to work at this place but they don't want to join the union, they don't want to pay the dues, okay, are they obligated to negotiate their own contract, their own benefits, their own hours, you know, or are they going to enjoy all the benefits and the higher wages and everything that the union usually pulls in without having to pay the dues? Are they going to be on the same playing field? They get the benefits, but they don't pay the dues. Kind of sounds to me like they can come in and just not pay the dues, and they still get the same wages and all the benefits, which, to me,
Richard, you're 100% right.
Yeah. I mean, that's a problem to me because, you know, it takes money to run, you know, like I'm in the Machinist Union. We have a big hall up on St. Charles Rock Road. There's people that work there that manage the benefits and the health care and pensions, and we have, you know, people that work for the union that negotiate contracts and things like that. Well, those all that takes money. And I saw some ridiculous figure today where somebody purporting to be knowledgeable said that 90%+ of union dues goes to the Democrats. Well, I'm sorry,
I don't know what
but
they're
that's
talking
just,
about.
That's a ridiculous figure because there's no way on 10% of my $65 a month they can afford to keep everything else going. You know, that's the kind of false figures that people throw out. And then when you ask them for where they got that figure, they can never produce anything.
Of course they can't.
Yeah. You know,
Richard,
that's the
like
misinformation. And that's the misinformation I'm talking about. You cannot, you know, when these people have the responsibility, and Kevin, you do this too, when they got the responsibility of this microphone, either know what the hell you're talking about or find out what it is, but don't be spewing crap out there that is absolutely wrong. And then, you know, then they worship you because you actually gave them a bunch of garbage information. That's ridiculous. It shows you how stupid you are. Not you, but, you know, the people that are following you. They're a worshiper. You know, if you want to worship somebody, worship your God. Don't worship a talk show host. I don't care if it's Rush or whoever it is. Me, I don't care. It doesn't make a difference. No one
should
ever do
that.
Well,
one thing's for sure, we're all fallible. But but the other thing is just like Rich had just mentioned, you know, if they are deriving the benefits but don't have to pay anything toward the management of it, why aren't these same people arguing on behalf of taxpayers being able to opt out of taxes? I mean, what really, if you compare the two, it's really not that far off. If we could derive all the benefits of our taxes but not have to pay them, how many people would opt out?
Well, I'll give you something else. You and I discussed this earlier. All right, let's say, for instance, you go work for the Kelly temporary agency, and I hire 10 Kelly people, and they're charging me $25 an hour, but they're paying you $10 an hour. That means that company is keeping $15 an hour and it's just walking away. That's worse than union dues. They don't get to do anything with it. It goes to somebody else. That's
sure.
it. That, and you guys, you have, I mean, that's what this amounts to. Why aren't they going to the Kelly agencies? They said, where are you giving your money? You know, where you put your money at? That's crazy. So people got to get this. You know, they got to realize that they've got to get over the emotion, get to the law, and stop and look at the law and say, is it right for an employer to be forced to do what the state tells them to do when it comes to hiring, whether they want to have a union shop or not? As an employer, if I want a union shop, as many of my friends do have, I got a friend in Southeast Missouri who's got a carpeting company, and she said, "We two of our sons are in the union." She goes, "I am absolutely against this. We do quite well. I have no reason to get them out of there. What they do for the people is great." Now, that's the carpet layers. I guess you know more about that than I do. But like you said, there are some good unions out there.
Sure. And there are some bad ones.
And you can't help who the bad ones are. There's bad corporations. No. You know, why aren't they jumping up and down? This is something that's always bothered me, too. Why aren't they jumping up and down about Steve Jobs? He's a hero. Guess where all his stuff is made? China.
Right.
China. So why you know, we kind of pick and choose these things, and this becomes emotional, and I'm still waiting for some of these people who gave me all kinds of grief on Facebook to call in. Just, you know, nobody's going to be mean to you. I'm not mean to people when they call, but at the same rate, call in and tell us why. I challenge you to do that because I'm missing something. Maybe just like with you guys. If you have an answer, tell me. Kevin, where you work right now, is it a straight union shop?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, where I have in the past is, right now I'm an instructor actually for the union. But I have worked 23 years out in the field for different companies that were straight union. And the thing is, Dave, is that I've got so many options, it's pitiful. And that is, you know, I could start my own company, my own non-union company if I wish. I could also go to work for a multitude of non-union companies that outnumber union companies. God mm-hmm. knows what the ratio is. I am not forced to join a union. We are all free agents.
Well, wait a minute, though. From what I understand, you're forced. What am I missing?
I can understand that confusion because that's the way it's being billed, a sell of goods. I mean, the bottom line is that they are the ones that are acting like they're doing it for us. And it's just, it couldn't be any further from the truth. It really couldn't.
Well, you know, and when it comes to some of the statistics they come up with, you can pretty much pull statistics from anywhere. I mean, you can.
Absolutely.
And all those things, you know, and here's what gets me the most. I don't care about any of the statistics, which state does better, which one. It doesn't make a difference to me. My main fact is the fact that I believe in property rights, and I believe in the fact that if it's your company, it's your decision. I mean, I don't like any more than, like, you know, say you got a company, they're all non-union, and then the union comes in, talks to the workers into becoming union, and they go to the owner, and they think they're going to force the owner. Sorry,
right.
Not going to work. As far as I'm concerned, if I'm the owner of that company, fired, you're out of here.
Now,
you have a problem
with
that?
Let me tell you, I don't know of one case of that ever happening in our union, ever. Whenever you're looking at it, what happens and what is a natural occurrence is that these businesses will seek us out. They will come view our facilities. They will talk they'll look at the school, they'll look at all facets, they'll look at the paperwork, have their lawyer review it. It's a matter of a contract over a specified time that expires, and whenever that time expires, they pull out without, you know, any problems whatsoever. So it's not anything forced about it, nothing.
Well, you know, and I remember and this was AFL-CIO, by the way. I remember back when overnight trucking came in, and I've never cared for the word scab. I think it's kind of a very weak way of doing anything, of trying to get your point across. You know, it's like, I don't know, it just bothers me. That I remember, it got very, very violent. But those were the days when, if I'm not mistaken, Jimmy Hoffa and all those people are involved. The mafia was involved. Those days, I mean, you don't have that in your unions. There are those things in the union people who are involved with the president right now, too, which you guys have nothing to do with.
No.
No.
No,
maybe
we
you
don't.
Do. Maybe
and,
you do.
And no, we don't. But the
they
whole
got real quiet, folks.
Is,
listen
they,
to them.
You, no, I was. It's a little awkward because I didn't want to speak over Richard.
Oh,
and
I'm
he's
just
probably
kidding.
Not
I'm
wanting
just
to speak kidding. Over me. But as far as that goes, you know, I don't like the name calling on all fronts. I am
I
sick to death of hearing union thugs. Thugs. You know,
well,
with
wait
the
a minute, though.
Calling,
but, Kevin, that's
now,
fair to some extent. It doesn't mean you, but it's fair.
No, I know, but what I'm saying is overall, it is overused.
Oh, no, I agree.
Drastically.
Well,
in some applications, it fits.
Yes.
But it is just, it's pulled out of the drawer way too much.
No offense, guys. I don't think of either one of you as thugs.
What?
Sorry.
No,
you know, there's a lot of things I may think about you. Thugs didn't really come into the question there. So. But, of course, your middle name was Vito. Is that right?
Right.
Yeah, okay. And have you broken any legs lately?
I did change my name to family tradition.
You know, where are these people? You know, I put it out there that they're all chicken because it doesn't work with what they think. And I hope they defriend me. I don't really care right now because it bugs the heck out of me that you complain about all these things. We have a forum here. You got good guys here, and you won't even come on and talk to us about it. You know, there's ways you could do it. They won't do it. They just do a hit and run. They're no different than the liberals that they're complaining about.
You know, something we had talked about tonight was the amount of union dues that, you know, we broached on it a little bit, but the amount of our union dues that goes to political action. And I personally, I've always been in favor of whatever that percentage is or that dollar amount, that the worker should be able to dictate where that goes. Now, it seems like a lot of the proponents for right to work look at this forced union dues, which all it is you're paying for the benefit of the union, and they say all that money goes to Democratic politicians. Well, like I said, I've always been a fan of say if that figure's $40, I could say I want to give that to this guy because I like him. It shouldn't be at the whim of the leadership when you I mean, Kevin, I'm sure you've seen it. We get the Labor Tribune the month before the election, and you go to the back of it where they have all the endorsements, and they're 99% for Democrats.
Right.
And that's just wrong. That's just wrong. I tried to get the endorsement of the Jefferson County Labor Group down here because I'm a union man. I have been for almost 18 years. I went down. They let me speak, and I was politely informed that the incumbent, because he has a 70-plus positive voting record for labor legislation, according to AFL-CIO rules, he gets the automatic endorsement. So as long as you're in office and you're pro-labor, you continue to get that, even though somebody else might be a better fit, it doesn't matter because the rules take anybody else out. So,
well, and they're subjective, Richard.
Yeah.
Right. Hey, I got a question for you. Somebody just said, how can Snooks pay minimum wage and then take out $30 a month for union dues? Now it is under minimum wage so they can get away with it. How can they get away with that? Her son worked there. I have the answer. I want to see what
not,
you guys said.
I'm not familiar with their pay scale or their unions. Or any, I can't tell you that I've got, you know, upwards to three decades in hours. And I just don't, you know, I'm not seeing a lot of this. But I do know there's a lot of other shopping centers out there, a lot of others. And there's a lot more choices than Schnucks. And I know myself, I've quit jobs before whenever I thought there were injustices or I didn't like it. And I mean, I would move down the road. If I felt like Snooks was not being fair, I wouldn't move along. There's
Bingo.
Other options.
Bingo. When
yeah.
you go into
it's
there.
Not forced.
Well, yeah, exactly. When you go in there, this is what you have to do. And you say, well, you know, well, it's like going to a bar right now, unless they change that. You go to a bar and you say, I want a job. And by the way, I want everybody to quit smoking because I'm working here now. Well, you knew that when you walked in there.
Yeah.
Well, it's the same thing, isn't it? You know,
yeah,
and it's not,
and unfortunately,
you know,
that's believable.
Well, yeah, these days it is. You know, look at the teachers. I want to be a teacher, and they go to be a teacher, and then they complain about how much money they make. It's not, wait a minute. You knew that when you walked in there.
Right.
So how do you go in someplace and you go, I want a job, but I want more money after I get hired, or I want to not pay as much here. You go in there, and this is what you get. I've hired many people in my life. And they didn't go in there. I mean, first of all, if you went in there and you told me everything you wanted, and one of my favorite things, by the way, I'll bring this up, is they go, what days do I get off? How much vacation do I get? I don't know about you guys. I never ask those questions about going to
kind
work
of,
for somebody.
Kind of a red flag right there. They're more worried about when they're going to be off than when they're going to be working.
My favorite. How many sick days am I allowed? That's my favorite. It's like, well, you know what
hey,
you're getting here.
This is just a little bit off it. I just saw a poll of CEOs and businesses the other day. You know what they said the number one factor is in hiring an employee?
What's that?
That was it was more important than the schooling. It was more important than anything, and that is during the interview that somebody look them in the eye and shake their hand and seem like they are up front and that was the, you know, and honest. That was the number one factor, even over your college. I mean, other than you meeting the requirements, they said that mattered more than anything for somebody to walk up, shake their hand, and look them in the eye.
You know what? I got an idea. You ever watch the show Undercover Boss?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. I like it because, and it should go both ways, by the way. I like it because what happens is some people know, you know, the CEO or somebody highly in charge goes and does, you know, the minimal jobs and figures out that it's not so easy. I wonder about that sometimes, but the one I got the most out of, and I was kind of found interesting, did you see the one where the black mayor from, I think it was Cincinnati?
Oh, no, I didn't see that one.
Yeah, he was the mayor, and I found it fascinating at the end. You know how they usually give the people, you know, so many bucks or something like that? Well,
right.
In this particular case, I loved it because he said, I have a friend who's going to give you $10,000. Really? And you could do this.
Yeah, a friend, a taxpayer.
Oh, and the other thing that got me, too, is he kept saying, oh, they're going to know who I am. It's like he was dying for somebody, and nobody knew who he was. And finally, somebody did. I think they did it on purpose. But he was like, oh, they're going to know who I am. You know, mayor.
The only thing that I find a little irritating about that show is every employee they deal with is a outstanding citizen. They never once have shown the lazy guy who doesn't do anything right and who has a terrible attitude. You know, all the people that seem to show are model citizens and overachievers and just.
Are you talking about the employees?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I saw one exception. And the guy said that day, at the end of the day, he said, if I could fire her right now without blowing my identity, I would.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes, I saw that. But there was also a manager.
She was real rude to a customer.
How about the Hooters one? Did you see the one with Hooters?
I missed that one.
Yeah, he actually, this goofy manager actually went in there and he made the gals like eat pizza or something like that, or I forget what pizza, something, without their hands. And they had to do that. And it was really demeaning. It was stupid. But,
oh,
you know, of course,
union?
Was he? No, he wasn't union, come to think of it. You're right.
Oh, man.
But oh, wait a minute, though. But the girls should have been union. How's that?
They'd had some recourse then, but they chose to opt out.
I thought that was hilarious, though, when I saw that one. But the other day, now they had one, because I kind of like watching those things. The other day they had one where there was a young man who just... They didn't give him anything. They just said they kept him. They're going to retrain him. which to me means he may not be there too long. So
right.
It's not always the perfect ones, but you're right. Most of them just work their butts off, and that's it. And a lot of people do. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah,
and
I
a
agree
lot of
with
people
that.
Aren't appreciated. But it's no different with you guys. You guys have the same thing. It's like all union people are lazy. They just don't work hard. Half time they don't show up. Either unions defend them. I'll bet you $1 million if you got a piece of trash that's in your union, you want to get rid of them because it's a reflection of you.
Absolutely.
I've seen them, and I'm sure Kevin has too. And that's the thing is all these different trade unions. Now I'm talking about the private sector. They're all different. I hear horror stories all the time about how individuals are treated. So say, for instance, they don't pay their dues and they get fined, and some of them have to work out of a hall where they can't do anything to, like if they're laid off, and that's the thing is they might work for one company for 4 months and then be laid off for a month, and then they go to work for somebody else. To fill in on a job for 6-8 months, and it's real inconsistent. And the times that they're laid off, they're not allowed to go out and solicit work and do anything else. They basically just have to not be paid until the next job comes along. And see, that's, there's some things that I disagree with. I don't fall into that. I mean, if I was...
Neither do I.
If I was off, I was off sick recently. Of course, I can't work when I'm sick, but... the job that I have doesn't really fit in because I work for one employer all the time. So it's different than Kevin where he might go here and go there. And, some of the unions are floating unions.
Have a mutual friend whose husband is a union member, and I think he has that problem.
Yep, exactly.
And he's kind of stuck. But, that's where when we had our comments about that, our discussion about that, I said, why don't you guys just find another word besides union? If that's the case, since it's such a yucky word, come up with a different word, and then you sell your group and say, we have the qualified people do this and this, and we used to be called a union, now we're called something else. I know it sounds crazy, but...
Where that falls into place many times, Dave, is unions that have a hiring hall. In other words, they're put on a list, and then
right.
they're just done in that number. Our union if you're dating the employer's daughter and she don't like you anymore, they could get rid of you. I mean, it's just that whatever you're looking at it, you're free agents. I mean, if you get a better offer from somebody else down the street, you want to leave A to go to B, you go to B.
Do you lose
your
pension?
It's just, no.
See, I don't, I want to understand that because I've never been involved in a union. Okay, let's say, for instance, you worked for a union for 20 years and you're just fed up with the union, but, you want to get your pension, obviously. What happens in that case? Because I don't know, and I bet you most people don't understand that. What happens with your pension? You don't lose it, do you?
You're vested. You're vested. If you work for more than 5 years under federal law, what you have put in is protected. And that's anywhere.
Okay,
that's how anywhere. That's a federal law. Whatever you
Kevin,
you go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, that doesn't go from union to union, I wouldn't think. I mean,
no, it doesn't. But what you've contributed to that pension in that 5 years is protected.
In that local.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
Right.
So if you're local 105 or whatever it is, then if that local and once you're 5 years, you're vested for that pension.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. So
is too, Dave, just like whenever the stocks tanked, we lost 40%.
Well, the government workers didn't.
We did.
Yeah,
I'm
I know
not
you
just
did.
Saying,
exactly.
In our pension. In,
That's
in
exactly
our pension,
right.
We took a hit.
Yeah, whereas in the public sector unions, the taxpayer just made that up.
Of course, we haven't watched it now. We got a government worker listening right now, so we got to watch out for her. If you work for a politician, you're then considered. That's right. They're both government workers now. So now they're on the other side. So we got. she's a spy now. You know who I'm talking about.
I think I got a good idea.
Oh, she's a good lady.
Absolutely.
Well, Well, I want people to understand, though, that what the legislation is, and you don't fight. You've got to go by the legislation, not what your thoughts are about the unions or whatever. It's absolutely ridiculous to be putting a spin on something when it has nothing to do with the legislation. So it comes down to one
thing.
Absolutely.
Let's stick to the legislation.
Right. If you're an employer, you have a right to have a union shop or not, and that's where you go. Well, let me ask you guys one thing, though, because this does happen. All right, let's say, for instance, a company hires pipe fitters, okay? And after 3 years of dealing with the pipe fitters, they just said, you're out of here, all right? I'm going to hire non-union workers. And the pipe fitters go out there, and they this is where you have some issues. The pipe fitters say, well, if that's the case, then we're going to go ahead and strike. And this is where I have some problems with unions. But nobody else will cross that because they have strikes there. And that's where I think some of us have some issues. So where do we go with that one, though?
Well, I tell you what. First of all, following off just of what you just said. Now, we could talk about that topic, but that's got nothing to do with this legislation.
Oh, no. I do. But, you know,
okay.
All those things are involved with
right.
People's thoughts, okay? Has zero to
on
do
the,
with legislation.
On the emotional side of things, yeah.
Right. But these are the kinds of things that are going to make them think when they're going to the poll on this, if we end up voting on it. They're going to say, now, wait a minute. What if this happens?
And believe me, I do understand. And I'm not going to try to. That's for each individual to choose and to make up their mind. I mean, it really is. You may still have picketing. And for God's sake, we got people picketing soldiers' funerals.
Oh, right.
So, I mean, it's kind of.
Yeah, but
I
don't think
really.
Yeah, but Kevin, I don't think you want to put yourself in that place, you know.
No, I don't. I don't want to put my. No, absolutely, I don't. And that's not my point. My point is that, you know, we're not gonna decide. You're not going to be able to agree 100% with everything on with everyone at all times. You know, if somebody doesn't want to, or if that happens, you know, it's right now. People can put you on a list for not liking gays. In their opinion, for not doing a lot of different things.
Well, and my whole point to that, by the way, was so those are things that you guys have to kind of figure out what to do with each other. But for me, it's bothersome, you know, and that's where I have my issues. I was tainted a long time ago with unions, and I will tell you quickly, and your dog. I'll tell your dog this too. Yeah, shut that damn thing up. But I used to be involved in the appliance delivery business, and I remember the GE warehouse was in the Schutz area over there somewhere, and I used to work my tail off, and I would get there probably they closed at 4:30 the warehouse, and I would get there if I wasn't there before 4:10. I don't care what they were doing, they wouldn't wait on me. They just said we get off at 4:30. Swear to God, this is what happened. And I used to be furious because I was non-union. I'm working my tail off. And these lazy SOBs said, hey, we may not be done by 4 o'clock, and that's it. And that's what happened. And that day, I remember one day when I was really upset, and I said, someday I hope you guys are out of a job. Because they took total advantage of what they should not be doing. You know, they should have been saying, hey, it's only 4:10. We can hurry up and do that. Laws under my fort didn't matter, but their union contract, those are the kinds of things that actually made me dislike a lot of the stuff going on. So a lot of it's deserved, and I'm not saying it's your union. That's what everyone has to remember. It's not your union. But
let me give you another quick example of one that just doesn't work, and I brought this up to our union leadership. And that is, and it's certainly not got anything to do with us, but whenever I'm addressing, you know, our perception to society and where we need to right the ship, and that was a case at Anheuser-Busch a few years ago. There was a few members that, not our members, but a few members of their union that went up on the rooftop at lunchtime and smoked pot. Well, they had put cameras out on the roof and surveillance cameras, and they fired those three individuals. And then the union went to bat for them because there was a clause in the contract saying that they needed to be notified 24 hours in advance of any cameras that are being placed anywhere on the facilities. And, you know, that's ridiculous.
Right.
First of all, they were violating the law. Secondly, I mean, there's got to be some kind of stupidity clause to where you just say, you know what, you screwed up.
Well, like the Chrysler workers that happened not too long ago.
And the thing is that hurts everybody. That whenever you blindly defend somebody in their actions, regardless of whether it's your child or whether, you know, it's somebody in the union or anything, it hurts. You know, it's sometimes you just got to say you screwed up.
Well, exactly. And well, of course, I'll play devil's advocate here. What kind of idiot employer would sign something saying that you need 24 hours notice?
Well, that's true, too.
Must have been a future GM executive. It was a future GM executive because, obviously, GM and Chrysler have done a pretty poor job of writing contracts, too.
Yep.
Now, you know, too, that you have lawyers involved in this whole deal. So, I mean, you know, it's hard to say, well, I overlooked it. I mean, these guys, they really are culpable for signing crappy agreements, too. But I just don't... there ought to be some clauses in there, especially whenever it comes to violating the law, that you're just on your own.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
I agree with that, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. And when it comes to part of the issue with, you know, the unions with worth of power, you know, when you see this, that's got to, you know, well, even like the you saw what happened with the teachers. I'm going on something quickly up in Wisconsin. You saw where now the kids have to go to school 20 minutes longer a day because the teachers took off school.
Right.
Yeah, somebody else always pays the price for that.
Right.
You know, and you know, why are they doing that? You know, I personally think if their contract says you're supposed to be here and you're not, every one of them should be fired.
Yeah, especially if they know where they were at. You know,
well, especially if they were bringing in slips from doctors that were signed. If you see a bunch of slips coming in with the same signature on it, I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Well, and every doctor should have been
disbarred. I mean, or should have had their medical license taken.
Absolutely, because that's not what it's supposed to be. But that's not what happens because. If you notice how the media report is, like, oh, they're so nice to do this, and therefore they get an excuse. I wonder what would have happened if that was a Tea Party. And by the way, folks, these guys were both Tea Party guys. They're not your enemy. They just have a different
opinion. Let me also say, in that case, you got a case of fraud there, because with that slip that you're bringing in with the doctor falsely signing, you are getting compensated for that, for those wages, and that's fraud.
Well, yeah, that's normal. That's normal in government, though.
Well, that's true.
If you don't have fraud in government, guys, then you don't have real government. That's how I look at it.
But let me just say this too.
Yeah.
And you hit on something right there. You said that's government, and in all honesty, you're right, and you have in many ways. Unions mimic the motions of a government in many ways, and you're going to have abuses in the government, and you're going to have some abuses in the unions, and you got it. You're going to have to just rein them in, and you're going to have to make people accountable.
You know what?
And,
you're right. Go ahead. I'm going to bring something up after this. I'll tell you what it's going to be. I'm going to take a break so I can get a little coffee and do something else. What I'm going to tell you is that there's some Tea Party stuff going on, and I want to talk about that because you talk about some bullying, folks. There's some bullying going on in the St. Louis area when it comes to Tea Party stuff, and we're not going to mention names or anything like that, but I'm telling you right now, you know, they are playing bullies up there, and it's really troublesome. You know, being a Tea Party leader myself here in Springfield, it's really troublesome to see that going on, and it just bothers me so much. So can you guys hang on for a little bit?
Sure.
You guys don't have a life, do you?
No.
Oh, okay. All right, I'm going to play my lighting commercial.
I didn't even have to think about that. I didn't even have to think about it.
We're cushy union guys.
That's right. You just kick back doing nothing. You're probably getting paid as you're talking to me.
I got to get.
Oh yeah, we're on overtime.
About 20 minutes.
All right, give us a couple minutes, folks. I want to take a quick break. We're gonna play a little commercial I got here, so I can actually make a living. We got some big news coming up, but I can't tell anybody yet until we have a signed deal. But it's pretty cool. You'll actually get to hear me on broadcast radio again. We'll just leave it at that. So I'll be back in a minute, guys. Okay, hold on.
All right.
Well, you know, David, 1 month ago, this economic recovery was starting to look pretty durable, and American consumer confidence was the highest since the recession. Now you...
Wrong one. Hold on. All righty, I want to take a couple minutes here to explain to you what I've been doing for the past year. And yes, this is a commercial break, and this means that you really need to pay attention, because if I'm saying it, it must be right. How about that? Okay, I've been involved with H&H Industries, which is a lighting company. Now, I basically do industrial-type lighting, but we do some residential, too. We have those types of twisty-type things, and a lot of people have fluorescents in their home. But what the one thing I want to tell you more than anything that I learned in this business was that most of us have zero idea about lighting. You just buy lights and you think, hey, it's that bright and that's it. Wrong. You can put the brightest light up there you want, but the problem is it giving your eyes what it needs to see well? And the answer in 99% of cases is absolutely not. So what we do is we go into businesses, and like I said, some residential, and we redo their lighting. Now, in businesses, we go in there and we'll go do an audit, and we'll see what you're currently using, and then we'll come in later with a proposal, and we'll explain to you what kind of lighting is best for what you have, the least amount of lights with the most output. Now, when I say output, what is best for your eyes, and what's going to cost you the least amount in the future? And, you know, let's not kid anybody. At Lowe's and Home Depot and these places, their business is to sell you as many lights as possible. That's their business. I mean, when you walk in there, don't think you're going in there and you got someone that says, we want you to buy the least we can. They don't. We do. But the reason we do is, of course, our lighting is more expensive. However, it is much, much better than anything you buy at those other places. So give me a call off the air. My number is 417-770-6301, and we can discuss the kinds of things we can do. And
Memphis, get out.
You just don't know what you're missing until you get some good light in your house. That's all we have in our house anymore. We've got the H&H lights, and I can't even think about putting any other kind of lights in my house, because when I walk around now, as I'm getting a little older, I can actually see better, much, much better. So let me give you that number again one more time. That's 417-770-6301. Give me a call, and let's see what we can get worked out. I really think you'll be happy with it.
Republican?
No, I'm a Democrat. Not me. I'm a patriot. Alrighty. We're back here. Let's get... Can you guys imagine dancing to that?
No, that's too scary for me.
All right, huh? Hey, back in the old disco days, guys, that was a hot one out there. Let me tell you, I had fun with that. I was, met a lot of nice people, especially those in the female end. I always liked them, too. So, okay, we're back with, I guess, can we call this the, and Ned seems to be sleeping, I know. Can we call this the Richard, Kevin, and Super Dave show today? How's that?
Sure.
I appreciate you guys coming in. I want to talk a little bit about some of the tea parties out there and how a lot of them have become bullies. Are you guys familiar with any of that stuff?
Absolutely.
They think because they feel a certain way, they don't want to debate anything, they just want to go ahead and tell everyone else how to legislate. And I've heard this from a few of the senators and state reps, and there's nothing wrong with discussing them with them and all that. But what do you guys think about the fact that that you have two parties out there telling people how to do their job? You know, how state reps and senators should be doing that job.
You know, there's certainly nothing wrong with trying to hold up accountability, but at the same time, and you hit it earlier, and that was the whole bullying aspect. You know, you can get an 80-pound woman that's a bully, and it doesn't have to be a big hairy thug, to use a term that's used often, and it's something that I have seen, and I really don't care for. I've actually been on the receiving end of it a time or two, and it's tactics, again, tactics that you see a whole lot on the left, and I really don't like the movement that a lot of this, quote, new conservatism is going in the aspect of just strictly off of emotion. We're losing our ability to reason and to logic around things, and in that case, We're losing our foundation. And I am not a blue blood. I've always, before people accuse me of being a blue blood or liberal, I'm not into name calling at all, because that's just a way to marginalize somebody.
I agree. I was looking at the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. They had an article in there today. And if you look at the comments, I was involved in there too. And what amazes me is the fact there's just so many people there automatically, well, you guys are union thugs and you're Democrats.
And
sell out. So, that's what it amounts to. It's like, and Republicans hate union guys. And it's like, you people don't have a clue. And what bothers me the most about these people, and a lot of the people in the St. Louis Tea Party, they're actually voting. They're not doing the research. They're telling people how to vote, how to legislate and all that, without even finding out what the facts are. And that's troublesome for me.
Who's that sound like, Dave?
I wonder, who do you think it is? They're no different than the opposition they were talking about.
Often, if we're not careful, we become the enemy. In essence, you gotta stick with your foundational principles and not just go with the ends justifies the means. It just can't.
Well, and I found that last year when I was kind of calling out at some of the people in the St. Louis Tea Party, and I'm bringing them up on purpose because of the fact that there was a lot of phoniness going on out there. Don't get me wrong, there's some very good, genuine people. You guys are some of the other ones I'm talking about. But, I'll get that in a second. I'm reading something. But you get too many people who just think, well, I got you elected, so now you have to do what I say. I've had questions of what some of the reps are doing, and I've discussed it with them, and it hasn't been really an issue. We may not agree. Why are you voting this way? Well, this is why. Well, I'm not real excited about that. Tell me why you're doing it. And some of these people, after you talk to them, they start listening to you because they don't know what you're thinking. But I don't call them up and say, if you don't vote for this legislation, I'll never do this again. That's about as stupid as you can get.
You
like somebody said, you got to fall in lockstep,
Right, yeah. We had a lot of union people down here where I'm at in Jefferson County, Kevin's area too, that voted Tea Party Republican this time around. And, that's the problem, is that now, unfortunately, I think a lot of those people are alienated because of the right to work, what we were talking about last hour, because right out of the box, those same people got slapped in the face. But,
absolutely.
But then again, it's not... Who legitimately can say, well, I'll never vote for another Republican again? Well, I mean, how can you legitimately say that? You can say that in anger.
It's emotional.
Right.
We both know that.
Right.
Yeah, but push comes to shove, ideally you should be voting for the best person out there.
No matter what party?
Well, no matter what party and who most closely represents your line of thought.
Well, and you know what? There are some representatives. And this is their job, by the way. They represent their area. That's
right.
What they're doing. And they're supposed to vote how their area truly wants them to vote, pretty much. Not like they are in D.C. It's like, well, I don't care what you think. I'm not voting that way. They, if they can't sell it to their public, you know, to their constituents, then that's their problem. You know, it's like,
isn't
well,
that what happened in healthcare?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean,
exactly
that's what
right.
happened in healthcare. And now we're doing it, you know, I feel like in some areas we're not being intellectually honest.
Well, that's because it doesn't go with what they want. You know,
yes,
but
justify the means.
Exactly. But you know, like if you're in an area like I'm in Southwest Missouri, very Republican or like that. Okay. In this area, mainly because people don't know what they're voting for anyway, they would vote for right to work. And you guys know that. But you guys are in Jefferson County where a lot of unions are and all that. Sorry. The job of your representative is to vote what's going to be best for his constituents. And frankly, it would be stupid of them to vote against right to, I mean, vote for right to work because of the fact that that's not what the majority of the people want there.
Right. Yes, because we have a republic. We don't have a mob-ruled democracy where 50 plus 1 controls the agenda. You know,
and thank God we don't.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. But that's what everybody's pointing to now. You know, like they scream democracy, democracy. Well, that tells me right there they don't really understand what kind of government we have, that we have a representative republic.
You could talk about President Bush, too. He always said democracy.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. Right. Exactly.
Every time I hear that, it drives me crazy. Yes.
Let me share a thought with you real quick.
Sure.
It's something that I see as legitimate. I mean, very legitimate. It's not a scare tactic. It's not anything else. It's just speaking the truth. And from the inside where I see it, you did have. Now, we had elections in 2010, didn't we?
Yep.
All of these unions were active. All of these unions were still there. But why was the outcome so different?
Because they were fed up. Yeah, they were fed up with what was happening too.
You had a few different things going on here. There was such a thing called, as it was referred to in the past, as Reagan Democrats. And a lot of them were union voters, people that crossed over. You had that in this last election. This 2010.
They were not mad at him when he fired the air traffic controller. Some were, but most union people, good union people, said, "I'm sorry, you know, it's wrong. You're holding the government up." And Reagan did the right thing.
Right.
So I didn't mean to interrupt
you. Here's where I was going with that. Is that you had a couple of different things. You had people that were union voters that were crossing over, for God's sake. Like Richard said, Ed Martin won Jefferson County by 20 points. You know, 20 points. And that was a large union block. Now, you had a lot of people that were crossing over. Then you also had a lot of apathy amongst the hardcore. A lot of them didn't even get out and vote. You had some union leadership that was saying, Tea Party bad, Tea Party bad, but you had members of the union that were involved in Tea Parties, and so it didn't sell. I mean, people could look, and they could say, you know what, we don't agree. We don't see it that way. And it never did bite. They never sold on it. Now we are having grassroots that are coming out and just blindly backing this right to work. They are giving union leaders a cause. Not only are they giving them a cause, they are going to cause a lot of the people that were in the middle of the road to the left to get out to the ballot boxes and vote in this next election. And there are going to be repercussions all the way around. I just don't think that they're thinking this out very, very well at all on many fronts.
Well, I'm going to bring something up to you. I just saw a message there, and it's the typical response. I was guilty of it, never again. The typical response when somebody was talking about unions and they said, well, they were really great back then, and there's no doubt a lot of them are born from need, died from greed. But where we differ, and I hope he's listening, I even hope he calls in, he's another radio guy, and he's saying that his mom was forced to join a union price cutter. Matt, I love you, but here's the problem I see with that, buddy. Your mom knew that going in. did not have to take the job, didn't have to do any of that. She didn't have to work there. That's just part of the deal. If they said you have to sweep the floors every night, whether you like it or not, you know, that's part of the deal. And that sound fair, guys?
That's an ownership decision.
Yeah,
right.
It's no different than going to McDonald's for a job. And when you're in discussions and you're being interviewed and they let you know, says, well, this is for the midnight to 7 a.m. shift, and you say, okay, you take the job, and then complaining because you're working a third shift. You know, you knew going in what the deal was, and your choice was, well, I don't really want a third shift job. Well, the other choice is, well, I don't really want a union job, so I think I'll pass. I'll go ahead and look for another job.
Right, you don't have to work there. Well, I had an appliance business. We had a big warehouse, and I had a dog there. That was my burglar alarm, because it actually works better to have a dog than it does a burglar alarm. So I had the dog there, but guess what the dog did in the place every night? Well, we took turns. Well, one of the guys who used to work for Chrysler started work for me, and anyway, I used to go clean the dog poop up and all that stuff, and I told him, I said, you need to go out there. It's your turn to clean it up. And he goes, that's not my job. And I just said, pal, when you work for me, you're in my time. If I, as the owner, are going to walk over and do it myself, I guarantee you it's your job too.
Yeah.
Was I out of line?
No.
He didn't have to work there.
Now, if you would never do it and told him that was his job, well, maybe not, but. If you're willing to do it, but no, he's the employee, you know.
Here's the other thing, too, and that is if your job description changes after you're hired, a lot of these people are complaining, and they're going in and applying for these jobs, and they know well in advance that it's a union job that they're applying for. Now, if situations change, if it's a non-union company and all of a sudden it turns union and you want, you know, and you don't like it, and then you leave, that's perfectly understandable, too. My dad told me something a long time ago, and that was, son, I mean, you know, that's a great thing about America.
Get her pregnant.
If it becomes intolerable or you don't like it where you're at, you can pack up and move along. And that is, and I wasn't talking about the home, but he was talking about work. And it's true. You can't do that in China. You can't do that in some of these other places, but you can here.
I was kind of hoping you'd kind of run into that one for me, but you didn't fall for it, so. Sorry.
I'll try a little better next time, Dave.
You got to learn to loosen up over there. You get too serious here. By the way, I have a comment here. It says, please thank Richard for turning off his burglar alarm. Now, that's got to be
I apologize for that. I got four little yappy dogs, and somebody came
in. Oh, I got you. Okay.
Yeah, yep. They were barking. I tried to cover the phone up. I was hoping nobody heard that, but I apologize.
Well, I actually screened the call for a little bit after it was happening a while, because I didn't know if it was, you know, your dogs or your wife, or I had no idea who was doing that back in the background. So
better watch it. My wife will kick your butt.
I know she will, but I may never see her again. If I do, I may have to run. I'm only kidding, folks. I'm only kidding. You know, you guys aren't too bad for union guys, though. I actually thought you'd be kind of mean,
thanks.
And just, you know. You guys don't ever go out and, like, knock anybody out, you know, out or anything like that, do you? Or
actually, I'm going to have to probably get off. I'm going to probably have to get off about 8:30. I got my thug class tonight.
You think? By the way, for the losers that want to try and call in and defend themselves, I'm just joking, folks. 323-784-9620. If you notice, though, all these people, they know we're on. They talk big on Facebook. And, look, I'm giving them grief for a reason. Because they talk big. Now, if I would have had it the other way, you guys would have called in and said, no, this is why. But because of the fact that they kind of understand that I'm, you know, it's not even being with you guys. That has nothing to do with it. It's about being with the Constitution. It's about being about freedom. And that's the one thing. If we get away from playing sides and only did what the right thing was, it doesn't matter who agrees with you.
Right. Well you're right. Honest.
I mean, no offense, you guys. I don't care if you agree with me. I really don't.
Right.
I mean, if you're wrong, you're wrong. And you know I'm going to say something. You know,
right.
I mean, that's
what
it should
be.
Well, yeah. But, you know, you get this, well, she doesn't agree with you or he does. Well, that's too bad. That's not what it's about. So I don't care if people agree with me because I try to look at the facts and if this is what it is. And like I said, when we talked the first time, it was this is all about the fact that it's the employer's right to hire who they want, period. And, you know, we can't because of race and all the other stuff. But, well, I even have problems with the government workers because they make, you know, I was a played cop for a little bit and they started having people who should never be police officers. I don't know if you saw it recently in an article, just like they did in St. Louis. They lowered the qualification.
In Ohio, Cincinnati, right? Wasn't it?
How would you guys feel if that was with your job?
Well, I wouldn't like it.
No, not at all. That's ridiculous. You know, you're gonna have, standards are for a reason, and if you don't have enough qualified people that will pass the test, then you need to look for some more people. But to lower the standards, especially that was firefighters, wasn't it?
Actually, policemen and firefighters. Because I remember a long time ago, I was watching the Rush show, and they were showing women that they had to hire because of the government. And they couldn't do what they needed to do. Well, how would you like to be someone in a burning building or whatever it is, and they can't do what they got to do? I'm sorry, you have to be physically able to do certain things.
And I agree with
mentally
that.
Capable too. Yeah.
Well, are you guys? I played cop in St. Louis for a little bit, and when I took my arms training, it was over off of Gascony by 55 there. And you ever been by there and you see that big tie wall?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, it used to be shorter, okay? And it was shorter when I was there. But that's when they started hiring they had to hire people, more blacks and more women. And that's fine. I mean, as long as they're qualified, I didn't care. But what they found is that the people were just not – they should have never been there because they were actually shooting – over, they were doing firearms training, and they would shoot. They would pull the trigger and pull it up, and they were shooting over the tie wall, hitting Hardys.
Wow, that's scary.
And I remember the firearms instructor saying, "This is what we got to deal with." And it was like a year later, they're building the wall up another 10 to 15 feet because of that.
Well, they're solving the problem.
Exactly. Lower the standards and raise that, you know. And when I was leaving there, I was kind of joking with the firearms instructor, and I said, you know, if I ever get with these people, I guarantee you when they start shooting, I'm going the other way. I'm not going to be anywhere to help them, you know. Hey,
yep,
somebody just
that.
Made a comment. Does Ed Martin talk about right to work?
Ed Martin, every time I've ever heard him, says it's not right for Missouri. He doesn't support it in Missouri. Now, if he's changed recently... It's been recent. But
yeah,
somebody just said Ed needs to talk about it. I don't know if Ed wants to talk to me, though. I'll go ahead and see if I can get him on sometime. But Ed and I have had our interesting discussions. We'll put it that way.
Hey, Ed's a pretty straight-up guy in my dealings with him.
I agree with that.
You know, anytime I've ever asked him a straight-up question, he's never given me one of these dance answers. It's always been straight up and, you know, yes, no, or whatever. That's been my experience with him.
I agree with that totally, Dave. I believe that, you know, I believe that he would discuss.
Well, we've had our issues, Ed and I have, but look, I don't hold grudges with anybody, and people change, and just some of the things that's happened that I was very disappointed in, and that you guys aren't aware of that, trust me. But, hey, look, you know, if I'm going to be open here, I gotta interview everybody involved. And if he's going to say anything, you know, I want to know why he says that. You just can't get away with saying, well, it's not right for Missouri. Well, what is it? You know, why isn't it?
Yeah,
you know, I don't like the general statements that a lot of these guys make. And that's why when I interview them, a lot of times they don't really want to get to that part and they get frustrated with me. And I'm sorry, that's just the way it goes. But, you know, if you're going to run for office, I don't care if I disagree with you. Just don't try to pull the wool over my eyes and tell me one thing and do something else. You know, just
and,
like
and
you
I agree with
guy.
That.
Yeah.
Of course you do.
That was another thing, you know, with this legislation. You know, and Richard hit it on the head. We had no idea. This came out of left field. One of the comments on that afternoon show today was, what do these people think we voted for them for? You know, we voted for them to take these, you know, to make these changes. No, you didn't vote for this because Right to Work wasn't mentioned.
That's the one that got my attention too, Kevin.
It's ridiculous.
Well, and to, I think they were probably talking about up in Wisconsin, weren't they?
No.
They
were talking about Missouri legislators, I mean senators.
Yeah, this is
because you know what happened is they heard about that in Wisconsin, and so like anything else, they just went ahead and generalized it for here too.
That's
what they do, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, I am going to read one of you guys one of the responses. Maybe you can tell me who said this. Okay, on paper, employers having freedom sounds good until you realize that the members pay the dues, more than 90% of which is given to Democrats. Employers have the right to force...
Oh, that's Dr. Gina Loudon.
Well, you know, okay, I'll finish it, though.
Okay.
They have Oh, this is the one that got me the most. Yeah, you win the prize. You win a union label. Okay. All right. Employers have the right to force their employees to join a union is tantamount, you ready for this, to a woman having a right to be raped.
Now you
give
tell me, that
me
that doesn't
a
sound
break.
Leftish.
Woman,
you
come
tell
on.
Me that doesn't sound leftish.
Yes,
yeah,
it is.
Strictly emotion.
That's exactly. I mean, and these people have the DR in front of their name, which to me a doctor should only have a stethoscope. But, well, that's another... show.
Well,
okay.
You know, another,
what
another
business
one.
Wants to be? What business wants is the right to take union dues from all their members in order to fully fund the union in their efforts to bargain against them. Really, whether the union is forcing it or the business is forcing it, forcing a worker. Nobody forced you to go work there. Darn it!
No,
it's forcing a worker to associate with someone who not constitutional and is morally questionable. You know, that is an absolute bunch of crap. Not to mention labor unions are the largest special interest group of any in the country, which I would have to disagree. I think it's the teachers. Spending more than big oil, big pharma. She's just guilty the other side. You know, it's always big oil. Big. I thought leftists called it big oil.
Yeah.
Well, let's also say this, too, and that is, you know, we're still – arguing from emotion. You're not, I mean, are you going to use this as reason to pass 63-year-old crappy legislation?
Yeah, that's
I mean,
right.
You're still not making a point. You're using emotional arguments.
You know, the other comment that caught my eye too was one that they talked about individual rights trump all others.
And yes.
We kind of broached this last week because which individual are we talking about? The individual that wants a job or the individual that's invested his money and time in starting a business and employing a bunch of people?
And it sounds like you would find that in the Soviet Constitution.
Well, you know what I thought of immediately when I saw that? Was, I don't know if you guys caught it, but they had that young guy. He was on the interviewed many times on TV. And it played this clip of him, and he worked at a company called Noodles, a restaurant.
Yeah.
Yes, I did.
And you remember that? And he was talking about how it's just not right that the company can tell them, like, when they got to come to work and how much they make and, you know, what they have to cook and, you know, how long they have to cook it. He says, we all should be able to get together and have a say in that. And that's exactly what I thought about when I saw that individual rights trump, you know, all other rights. And I'm thinking, my goodness, I wonder if the person that said that, you know, recognizes how close those two things are to the same. And that just blew me away when I saw that.
Yeah.
Again, you're going to have government's going to get to pick which individual freedoms are more important, the business owner or the people that want to work there.
See, what's odd about what you guys are saying, though, is the fact that you are concerned about the business owners. I mean, really, that's
right.
What you are, because if it weren't for the business owner, you guys wouldn't get paid. You wouldn't have a job.
Exactly.
I share that with every apprentice.
Well, that's good. By the way, here's a question, all right? Right to work will give control of, this is what somebody said, wonder what you thought of it. Right to work will give control of local unions back to the local union members. When membership is voluntary, unions work better, are more democratic, and the union members will make sure their union is more effective for them.
Well, it's first, that's not, I don't think that's true. We already have control over it. You know, maybe we haven't been as up to speed at electing the correct leadership, but you can equate this back to government. Look at the people we have running the country
right.
The last 4 to 6 years. That was on the people of the United States for not voting and for letting slugs get into office who have no interest in them. It's the same thing in the unions. And the way you fix it is you come in and you throw out the leadership and you get new leaders in there. And that's what you have to do, and that's what they've started to do in government, and that's what we need to start doing in the unions.
Right. I mean, you guys are well aware there are issues. You guys are well aware there are issues, and you want to fix them. It's no different. You know, and this is where this Better Than Now stuff goes, because we just had an election, and what do? We're going to elect all these new people. Well, in Missouri, who they think they're doing so great, who did they elect that was new? Roy Blunt wasn't new. You know, most of these people were new. It's the same people, and then they get all mad because you know, you guys are wanting to make sure that you make a living. Or, well, actually, this has nothing to do with you. I'll go back to it. It's my mistake. This has nothing to do with about you guys making a living. It has everything to do with the fact that you're part of a union, and it's the employer that has that happen. So for the person that did say something about the fact that his mom went to Price Cutter, you're absolutely right. But she knew it when she went in there. She could have easily said, you know, I'd really like to do this, but I'm not. I really don't want to be involved with the union, and turn down the employment. They don't owe her a job. It's nothing personal. You know, it's hard to say those things sometimes because people get mad at you, but that's where the emotion gets there, and we lose every time. Emotion is a terrible choice make. You know, terrible making choices.
What we've done, Dave, is we've turned, and this is another thing that I despise on the new conservative front, we're turning ourselves into victims. We're victim, 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 victim. Just like Richard just said, you know, we allowed people to assume office through inactivity and other things, just like in the unions. You know, I mean, if we're going under some kind of persecution, it's because we've allowed it to happen. And we don't need people from the outside stepping up and declaring us victims and then trying to right the ship for us. It's stuff that we need to do.
Well, at least I'm doing something different than that St. Louis person. And I'll tell you what it is. I'm at least opening it up to people who have differing opinions instead of just getting on here and blasting their side or something like that, not giving them a chance. That's a problem I saw up there too. Up there, they had the issue with the third district, not third district. Which one's Ed Martin's? The third, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Third district.
Yes, when they had the primary, she made sure that the people running, she didn't even interview hardly anybody, get him involved, and give people a choice and say, these are the people running, which I think if you're a Tea Party person, the whole point is to let them know who these people are. Ask them the questions. Find out who these people are. That was my problem I had with – that was the biggest problem I had with Ed Martin, too. It wasn't necessarily his fault, but they kept out other people who were running, okay? And I wasn't fond of any of them, you know, but the point was – that's your job as a media person, and those things weren't happening. Well, that's biased media. It's no different than what they're doing on the left and CNN and the rest of it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and the only reason Ferguson got on is because he ditched his toupee.
Yeah, exactly.
Remember? That was the only
time
he got on.
I heard the interview. And after, I heard the interview, and the first thing I thought of when she was doing this is she was doing her best to embarrass him.
Yeah,
and that same person was very quiet, didn't say much about Ferguson, which was at least a whole lot more conservative. He's still not my goal of being a real great conservative, but he was a lot more conservative than Blunt. But he never got any time of day on there. And I, what amazed me the most up there was the fact that Roy Blunt signed this deal about no earmarks, and he goes there, he goes to D.C., wins the election, goes to D.C., and guess what? He's for earmarks.
He's all for earmarks.
And they
earmarks.
Were upset by that fact. Yeah.
He's all for NAFTA. I mean, he's not a conservative.
No, he's not a conservative. You're absolutely right. I mean, he signed the Catch for Cluckers and the rest of it. So on my end, it's like, no, wait a minute. How can you play both of them there? And so that was a problem I had, what was going on. And frankly, you know, I know this is going to upset some people, but the point is I felt like that was for someone's career instead of what we're all here about, because I couldn't care less. If I'm here for the cause. If you don't like the cause, and you know, if you think I'm full of crap, that's fine, but I'm here for the cause. You don't have to like me.
Well,
I mean, it's like you guys. I don't like you guys, but I like your cause.
Well, you know, and the attitude was, and it came across, and I mean, it was flat out stated, was we're for the best candidate, as long
Which
as he has money, as long as he has enough money, and he can win, then we're for him.
Well, not only that, let's not forget that rant after Ed Martin lost up there, to where it was a rant about the fact that how dare you vote for a CP or LP candidate.
Yep.
Oh, that was horrible. That
how
was
in
absolutely
the world,
horrible.
You know, if you didn't convince enough people, why is it a voter's fault? Oh, because they have no chance of winning. Well, you know what? I didn't vote for senator because I frankly didn't. I just could not vote for anybody on there. I thought every damn one of them was a waste of time and useless. Every one of them. You know, so I just, I know you guys probably voted for, you voted in that, but that was my selection. I guess I'm bad for not voting for.
No, you're not. No, and you hit it on the head. I mean, you know, we should vote be an educated voter and vote for who we feel that we want and choose not to vote if we feel like we're not given a good choice. We really should. And to have somebody else criticize us and to just go on a rant like that is embarrassing.
Yeah,
that was pretty bad thing that happened.
Well, here's some more Tea Party news too, and this just goes to show you how pathetic some of these people are. And I'm saying this on purpose. There was a friend of ours who was a Tea Party person. You're real familiar with her, and because of the fact she was against right to work, another Tea Party person spit at her.
Mm-hmm.
That's disgusting.
Yeah.
You know,
disgusting.
I'm a Tea Party
I don't
person.
Care who you are.
Yeah. That's ridiculous. You're no better than the people who were at the, you know, SEIU who beat up the young black guy at the town hall.
Yeah, Carnahan's town hall.
Yeah, Carnahan's town hall.
Yeah.
You're no better than that. So,
yep.
You know, just because you wear the Tea Party thing and, you know, the Tea Party hat, that's a problem for me because that doesn't mean you are educated. And so many of these people aren't educated. In fact, I'm going to go a step farther. I'm going to ask you guys what you think of this. All right, our country is in huge debt. Do you think by chance that we're all responsible for this debt? Or do you blame it on the left only?
No, we're all responsible for it.
Now,
sure, I agree.
Okay, what if somebody was to come up with a plan and say, look, we are in deep doo-doo. We cannot afford all these different things that's going on. We're going to have to lower everyone's Social Security by 20%. We just can't pay it. That's it. We don't have the money. Do you think those same Tea Party people would say, that's right, we got to do that? Or would they be saying, well, now, wait a minute. Don't touch my money. I'm on Tea Party.
I think a lot of them would say, you know, don't touch my money when it comes. I mean, it depends. It depends on their situation, their age, and everything else.
And it should.
I don't care about their situation.
But wait a minute. I don't care about their situation because, you know, the way I describe it the best, I think, is the fact that you got two pockets. One of them, your right pocket is full of Social Security money that you put in there. Your left pocket was for federal spending. Well, unfortunately, you have no money in your left pocket. You've got a credit card there, and you've allowed this to happen. And then all of a sudden you go, now, wait a minute, I still want to keep my money in my right pocket. I just want, I owe money here. I'll still owe it. Let somebody else pay my debt. They were there when a lot of this stuff happened. I'm sorry. To me, it's like, no, now we got to use the money in your right pocket, which obviously there's no money. It's a bunch of IOUs. So because of that.
I do believe that a lot of people would go along with that, but I believe that a lot would oppose.
Right. Because they think, because a lot of, and I'm jumping on Tea Party people for a reason, because of the fact that they have to get real, because they're not paying attention to legislation. They're expecting everybody else to cut the budget with what they're doing, but not with what they're involved with. I know people that's getting checks, who are getting checks, SSI checks and all that kind of stuff, who are Tea Party people, and I'm thinking, how do you do that? How can you say lower the cost of government, and you're getting a check for things? How do you do that when you're one of the people, who's got their hand out?
I guess not
Richard,
much of
you
a
hear?
Conscience. Yeah, not much of a conscience.
Right.
I mean,
well, the other thing is that people always have the ability to justify things in their own head.
Yeah, they'll find a reason why somebody else should have to give something up at the same time they find a reason why they should get to keep theirs. And
right.
not in my backyard syndrome.
Let me throw this at you guys. You're talking about financial responsibility. What about let's change things up and make it to where you cannot get one penny more back than what you paid in on taxes.
Yeah.
Oh, I'd love that. I would love that.
I'm telling you, right off the bat, I mean, for people to get, and I'm talking about on the low end, and you have some, a person, a company, nobody should get back more money than they pay in.
Yeah. Ever.
How do you, whenever that happens, it's called welfare. Call it
that's
that.
Right.
Call
that's
it
exactly
that.
Right.
Don't call it a tax refund. It is
no,
welfare.
There are people getting SSI, guys, who have never, or should say never, you had to pay at least something, who basically have paid little to nothing in the SSI, Social Security system, who've been getting checks for years and years and years. They've never contributed to the system. How do they get away with it?
That's. I mean, it leads us to the road that we're on
well,
many fronts.
But the citizens have allowed that to happen.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, they have. So I go back to what I said before. If you as a society have allowed this to happen, what makes you think you should get all this other money back when you've used your other pocket and used that credit card beyond belief? You're out of money. Obviously, the credit card's all maxed out. So you start using your kids. You're no different than the people you're talking about.
Right. No, and there's another parallel here too, Dave, and that is the aspect that the reason why you oppose public unions is you said that people can affect their own pay with their vote. Are not these people doing the same thing?
Sure, they shouldn't be allowed to vote.
If you're getting back more money than you pay in, you shouldn't be able to.
Well, I think that if you are on welfare,
you're affecting it for,
you
right.
absolutely have zero right to vote. You should never be able to vote for your own pay. In fact, the many founders that said we get to that point, we're dead. And
yep.
we're there.
Right.
Oh.
We yep. can't do that. And people are worried about about a right to work. I mean, all these things in the world here, and you're worried about this right to work stuff.
Right.
That, you know.
Yeah. Exactly.
So, we kind of pick and choose what we like. We
absolutely.
Really do.
And what our cause is, and that's true. And it's not being intellectually honest. I would also like to see our legislators on a national level set up who sets their pay scale?
David.
Who sets their pay scale? Who sets their benefits packages? Who sets their retirements and when they collect it? They have to vote down an automatic raise. Let's lead by example. Let's step up to the plate.
Yeah, exactly. You know what else? I'll tell you what. We need to cut every legal assistance pay in half, at least.
Dave, how about this too? Why don't we put all of those federal legislators in the VA? Why aren't they part of the Veterans Administration?
Well, I
you
agree.
Know what? If nothing else, our medical care for our veterans will go up drastically. If nothing else is accomplished.
That, by the way, that was a dig at a friend of ours, so just for fun. Did you thought I was serious? We have a friend, a legal assistant for one of our friends, you know, for one of our state reps, and let me tell you, I feel sorry for those people because people think that if you're in a state legislature, you're making a ton of money, or the people work for them. Not all government employees. This is another a joke. Not all government employees make a lot of money.
You notice I specifically mentioned on a national level.
Yes. Yes. National ones make a ton of money. The people in the state legislature, some make good money. If you want to see the money being made, honest to God, if you want to see where most of the bucks are going, go on the payroll of the colleges.
Right.
Which I'm telling you, it is amazing the kind of money these people are making. Amazing.
Oh, yeah.
$200,000, $300,000, $400,000.
That's why they have to keep raising tuition.
Well, it is. And,
yeah.
You know, every time I hear about the fact that we're sending money to these colleges, it's like, that's insane. I don't know why government got involved in education to begin with.
Oh, yeah.
You see what they're putting out there. You know, we homeschool, and it's very easy, by the way. If anybody wants to try it, just call me. I'll gladly tell you. It's very, very easy. But the point is that
the schools need more money. That's the problem. We need to invest in the schools. Don't you know that?
Well, yeah, the new term for spending is investing.
Spending is investing, yeah.
Well, invested. Just do it with your money. Don't do it with mine.
That's right.
Guys, can you give me any reason, too, why we need to pass legislation so that we can stop funding or at least stop allowing illegal immigrants to have in-state tuition?
That's another absurd thing.
I mean, illegal is illegal.
It is?
Where I grew up, it was.
Well, yeah, I agree. Well, illegal is a sick bird, guys. I'm not a comedian, okay?
Yeah.
See,
okay.
Now, one of the things that you can do is we've gotten ourselves to a point to where we can't even debate these type of topics without being classified or demagogue. I mean, now I could be a racist because I'm complaining about, you know, the legal status of a particular group.
Right.
You complain about welfare, too.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, well, there we go.
Yeah.
I'm a racist, okay. And all the rest.
I'm going to read something here somebody has here, and you guys can help me decipher what he's got here. Right to work states gain legislative representation in Congress. Collective bargaining states, including Missouri, lost U.S. seats and one lone exception. Corporate site selection firms have noted that that when collective bargaining is a state law, 50% of all potential large-scale operations will take their search to right-to-work state. You know, Phil, I love you, man, but that has zero to do with it. You know, we take the consequences of this legislation and we use that instead of the law itself. What am I missing here, guys?
Can I answer that specifically,
sure,
too? I know it's not got to do with this, but this is what I'm talking about of an example of cherry picking and not arguing from an intellectual, honest standpoint. Whenever you look at the states that gained, what percentage of those that left this state for those states are retirees seeking out warmer states, and not only warmer states, but more tax-friendly laws? Every state but one that picked up seats, to my knowledge, either has no state income tax or is very friendly on their state income tax law.
Well, going by what you're saying,
there are other reasons.
You're right. Well, look at this, too. Illinois, Michigan, which are big union states, New York, all those, they're all in debt, okay? But they're not in debt because of the unions. They are because of the government workers, those unions they are, but they're not in debt because of you guys. It has nothing to do with you guys.
Right.
Yep.
So, you know, they can cherry pick, just like you said, you know.
Let me cherry pick, Dave. Okay, let's look at, there's three states in the United States that have less than 4% of union workers in their roles. All three of them are right-to-work states. And that's South Carolina, North Carolina, and hang on a second. Georgia. All those are the three that are less than 4%. They all have 10.5% unemployment. If you look at one statistic off the Department of Labor website, you're going to see that an average construction worker in Missouri makes $46,000 a year. An average construction worker in those three states makes $34,000. There's a $12,000 difference. Their unemployment is higher than Missouri's. We could go on and on and on. The highest unemployment in the country is in a right-to-work state, Nevada. Florida is way up there. You could look at examples all over the country. There's a reason why this legislation's been around 63 years, and you have 22 states that's gone to it, three that has backed out, three became right-to-work and abandoned it.
Regardless of what you're saying, by the way, there's no such word as irregardless. Regardless of what you're saying, though, this has nothing to do with legislation. And you guys know it. I'm not picking on you here, but
right.
It has nothing to do with legislation. And that's why, you know, that's what they try to do, is they try to go back and forth and distract with all these. It doesn't matter. We're looking at the legislation.
What I'm saying is those are the things that you can debate, but it isn't, like you said. You're sidetracking off of bad legislation.
Right.
And that's the key.
Yeah, I mean, I hear about Chinese goods. I mean, somebody's writing about Chinese goods and all that stuff, and it's fine, but it all that doesn't matter to me, because, you know, I think some of that's good, some of it is. It doesn't make a difference. The reason, look, there's no doubt sometimes, a lot of times, companies leave the United States is because the United States is not friendly when it comes to the environment, garbage that they have to come up with, the highest corporate tax rate in the world, and what they do instead, and the spending, of course. And spending is the biggest thing. We never hear about that. So to be fair, they're picking on you guys because you have idiot unions like AFL-CIO and SEIU in them. That's what the problem is, but it's like we cherry pick, like you said, we cherry pick what we want, but unfortunately, people aren't smart enough and they keep looking at all these other things. It has to do with the proposed law done. I mean, that's where we are with this. Can they, you know, is it up to you guys to force an employer on what he has to do when it comes to hiring people? That's the problem there.
Right. And whenever you start getting conservatives that are saying it's more about the individual's right than the employer's, we've got problems.
Yeah, how do you decipher whose right's more important at that point? You know, they never wanna ask that. You know, I guess if you become a business owner, you lose your rights, is what the logic is behind that.
Well, I don't think they care, because they keep thinking it's individual, but this is no different than the smoking issue. So I don't know how you can honestly say, well, this is different. It's the exact same thing. If I own the business, and I've owned a business before, and I did tell my employees, and you guys will respect this, I'm sure. I told one guy one time says, I'm thinking about maybe this would be a good union shop. And I said, well, good luck, because I'll fire you. I mean, I'm not going to entertain a union shop. And it was kind of business I was in anyway. And believe me, I pay my employees pretty well and all that. But the point is that some people, a lot of times, and you know this, sometimes people want to be union shops so they can pretty much kind of do what they want to do, depending on the union.
Right.
You know, in your place, you guys want those clowns out of there. You don't want that. So every union's different. It's no different than anything else. So
Dave,
I hope.
Overall, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. I just hope people pay attention to the legislation only. Don't get caught up in the distractions.
Right, and you hit something too, and that is the fact that, you know, the biggest way to avert anything like that is to be fair with your employees and to try to be a good employer. and a lot of people wouldn't even think or want or seek representation of other means. And I'm not. And again, our focus is the legislation, which is bad. And the other stuff we could debate, we could talk about. You know, that's for discussion and debate.
Well, you know, but a lot of these people, you know, they'll complain about the fact that something's high and all that stuff because of the union, and sometimes it is, no doubt about it. Sometimes it is. However, the same people go to Walmart. I go to Walmart sometimes. The same people go to these other places. In fact, I'll go a step farther. I remember when I was on broadcast radio, I used to get on people because they would drive by all these little businesses and then later on say, I just can't believe they closed. And the first thing I thought of was, did you people ever stop by to see what they had?
Yeah.
I mean, I think everyone should stop by. In the old days, the business was down the street. You knew who the people were and all that. Trust me, when you go to a lot of these big stores, they don't know who you are, whatever. Walmart's there because of supply and demand. I don't blame Walmart. I really don't blame Walmart. And I don't know if you guys do. That's up to you. But I don't blame Walmart. I blame the same consumers. They go buy foreign cars, and then they complain about the fact that, you know, we can't sell enough cars here. We need to do more for our workers. Well, you just bought, you know, a foreign car. So what's the big deal there? You know, they're talking on both sides of the mouth.
No, you're right. I'm going to tell you a quick story as far as that goes. Like I said, I'm an instructor. I drove onto that lot every single day with an Ed Martin bumper sticker hanging on the back of my vehicle. One day when I pulled in, and there was a bunch of business agents and others around in the union, the secretary told me, you got a lot of nerve pulling that car on this lot with that Ed Martin bumper sticker. And I just laughed. I said, you know what takes a lot of nerve is you mentioning my bumper sticker and parking a Honda out there every single day. The thing was, the first thing she started doing was stuttering and started talking about it being an old car and just on and on and on. But there's a perfect case of hypocrisy.
Yep.
Yes.
A perfect case. And
by the way,
you know, it's just – go ahead.
No, you're right. You're right. It's hypocrisy. I just want to mention and, Richard, you're invited. Tomorrow I'm going to St. Louis, and I'm going to meet some people at CASA, and you're welcome, too. I think Kevin may be there, too. So if anybody else wants to meet us at CASA in South County, I'll be there, like, after 5:30 or something like that. Something like that, at 5:30 or something. But I plan on going there after I drop I'm coming from Springfield and going there. And so there's no show tomorrow night, just in case everybody wants to know. It's my vacation night, so hopefully you can meet me there, Kevin, and I don't know, Richard, of course, you don't need to go there, I guess, because you're still ill, aren't you?
No, I went back to work yesterday, so.
Mentally ill, though, aren't you?
I'm with that?
You're still mentally ill, though.
Oh, well, yeah, that'll never be fixed.
I'll tell you what, Dave, you can just warm me a seat. Just keep me a seat, I'll be there. My show is canceled tomorrow night too, due to.
Well, I'll just bring the equipment and we'll do a show from CASA.
And anybody that's out there that wants to join us,
come on up.
Yeah, come on. Don't try to shoot us. Look, we're all good people, and I appreciate you guys. Well, okay, I'm not. You guys are. Well, you guys are union guys, though. You're like the enemy.
Well, nah, you know what? I got an automatic car starter, so I'm all right.
Yeah.
hey, look, when the unions were in charge of, you know, a lot of the, the mafia was in charge of some of the unions, I remember the leisure days.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys remember that,
too.
But I lived a block away from from a car bombing. So I'm real familiar with that. So, well, listen, we got about 90 seconds left. I got about 45 seconds to sign off. So, hey, thanks, guys. And anybody wants to join us, we'll be at CASA tomorrow. So I really appreciate you guys coming on. We'll do it again.
Thank you very much for having us on, and thanks for being intellectually honest on this topic.
Really appreciate the opportunity.
Okay, guys. We'll do it again. We're going to keep going this until we get them to be intellectually honest in Jefferson City.
Sounds good.
There you go.
Okay. All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Okay.
Take care.
All righty. All righty, we're done here. We'll be back Thursday. Won't be here tomorrow. If you'd like to meet us at CASA, we're going to be there after 5:30, and I'm a good-looking guy. So anyway, we'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for listening, and let me find my show ending here. There you go. Thanks a lot. Talk to you later.
You can't quit.
And why not? I got fired.
You can't fire him.
Why not?
He quit.
Over? Did you say over? Nothing is over until we decide it is. Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? Hell no!
Germans? Forget it, he's rolling.
And it ain't over now. Because when the going gets tough... The tough get going! Who's with me? Let's go! Come on! Thanks. I needed that.